Welcome to the Side Hustle Project, a podcast where we explore the nitty-gritty details behind what it takes to start and grow a profitable side hustle. I'm your host, Ryan Robinson. In this podcast, I'm bringing you interviews with entrepreneurs, best-selling authors, CEOs, investors, and people just like you who are building and profiting from interesting side hustles. In today's episode, we're talking to John Rampton, the founder of Due.com. That's spelled D-U-E.com, an online payment service and much more that's great for working with contractors, freelancers, and remote employees. John is also a frequent contributor to pretty much all of the biggest online publications. Mashable, TechCrunch, Entrepreneur Inc., Forbes, you name it, he's probably been there. John was recently named number 3 on Entrepreneur Magazine's list of the top 50 online influencers in the world, in part due to his incredibly engaged Twitter following of more than 1.5 million people. Things weren't always so glamorous for John, though. During college, he experienced a pretty traumatizing accident while earning some extra money helping a friend out on a construction site. His leg was broken in several places. He had multiple surgeries, and doctors told him he'd never walk again. It took him almost 3 years of rehab and tens of thousands of dollars in expenses each month, but he eventually recovered. And what could have been this very dark time for John instead became the foundation for his next business. He got into online marketing, hiring contractors, and growing an affiliate marketing business in the real estate space. In this episode, we're talking about John's very first side hustle that he sold for $2,500 at the age of 14, renting and selling candy out of a garage across the street from his elementary school. We're covering how John went on to build multiple businesses over the years, including Due.com. We dive into how John grew his Twitter following to more than 1.5 million people and his best tips for becoming a writer on sites like Inc., Mashable, TechCrunch, Entrepreneur, Forbes, and more. As always, you can find everything we mentioned in today's episode in the show notes at ryrob.com/podcast. That's spelled ryrob.com/podcast. Let's get into today's interview with John Rampton. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, so I've got a warm-up question for you. What book are you reading right now, or what has been your favorite recently?
There are two books. One that I'm reading right now is called Top of Mind. It's by John Hall. It's a really good one that I've really enjoyed reading recently. It talks about, basically the principle behind it is keeping people at your top of mind. So always being, at the very, keeping everybody at the top of mind, that closes more deals and helps you on the long road. The other book that I've been reading, I'm looking up the exact name on it. I can't think of the exact name, but he's a hostage negotiator, and it's called Never Split the Difference. And he's a hostage negotiator, and he talks about when negotiating in business contracts that you should never split the difference. In business relationships, it always talks about, hey, let's split it and agree on this price. And he says you should never do that, because then it's two people getting a bad deal instead of just one person. He's all in a relationship and in a business thing, you need to have at least one person who gets a really good deal, or it will never be an extremely long-term, like, good business relationship, and you have that mentally working against you. So talks about that. It's a good book.
I love that. Yeah, and we'll include the links to both those books in the show notes. So, John, you've been an entrepreneur pretty much your entire life. Can you take us back to where it all started and tell us about sort of your childhood and where everything began?
I mean, it started when I was a kid. I always wanted money. I wanted more, 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 more. My parents didn't give me anything. My parents say, I grew up in, I would say an average neighborhood. And there were times when my family was really, really poor and had no money. There were times when my family, did okay, but most of the time it was we were getting by. So I never, I never had money. So, there was never, oh, here's your allowance or here's this. No, it was you do your chores or you don't go out to play. So if I wanted money or if I wanted to do something, I had to come up with that money myself. So I guess that was the start of my entrepreneurial endeavor. And then I started finding that I really liked money. I liked how it worked. I liked having it. I liked making it. And I liked seeing my bank account go up. I mean, to the point where, before graduating college, before graduating high school, I had all the money saved up to pay for all of college. And before I graduated college, I had enough money to pay cash for my first house. I love money. So, you know, it wasn't necessarily, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to do this. You know, later in life, I learned that that's what it became. But, you know, I loved money. You know, my first entrepreneurial endeavor was I started a candy stand. I opened it across the street from an elementary school that I went to. I rented a garage from the person who lived across the street. And I put all my candy and stuff in his garage. And I set up every day. I'd like ask my teacher if I could leave 5 minutes early every single day to be all set up to sell candy. Well, I ended up opening another one in front of the school. I was in the back and I opened another one in front. And then I opened up two other ones in front of other elementary schools as well. And, you know, this was my first business I ever sold. And I sold it for like, I think it was like $2,600. I sold my candy business to the guy who owns the garage so that his son could use it and make money doing it. So like it was a real business where I sold and like it was my first contract I ever made. And I even went to like one of my neighbors who is a lawyer and he's all, I approved this email and he became my lawyer. It was really funny.
How old were you when you sold that?
I was 13 years old.
Wow. That's amazing.
So, and I made $2,500 as a third, I might've been 14, but $2,500, or I think it was actually 26, but I made that like, oh, well, it, that sparked my entrepreneurial endeavors.
So what would you say then was maybe your most rewarding and call it financially rewarding, call it otherwise if you want, but what was your most rewarding business up through that time period of high school and college?
Probably that. That was probably my most rewarding thing that I was doing is that business. I mean, I started other little things. You know, I started a little thing where, you know, I put DVDs maybe that were out in the movie theaters onto the internet and sold those. Totally illegal now, but at the time I was underage and I could get away with it. That was, you know, something that I was really proud of as well. But I mean, I would say that was by far up until high school, you know, I graduated, one of the most rewarding things that I did.
So you get into college then, what business did you start in college? When would you consider them like a side hustle, or were you spending tons and tons of time on a business in college?
You know, I cranked through college in 2.5 years. So I graduated with a bachelor's degree in 2.5 years. So I was really focused around college and getting that done, not for the fact that I felt college was useful or anything. Just I have several mentors. One of my mentors is a multi-billionaire. And he's like, John, like, he's like, you should finish college. He's all, you're going to hate it, but you should just get through, because college introduces you to people that you're going to start businesses with and helps you network better. It also, in the future, it won't get you a job, but it will get you an interview. And if you don't have a degree, you won't get an interview. He's all, you'll get the job regardless, but you won't get the interview. So it gives you so much more potential. And I say that to people right now, college won't get you a job. It will get you the interview. You're going to get the job because you're an amazing person. College is just one of those things that you had to have. So I finished college as quickly as I can. At the time I was working at a startup. When I started, we were about 5-6 people. When I left, we were 190 over the course of my entire college career. And then about a year and a half after college as well, that I would consider my startup, and like I helped grow and I helped raise, and I was the number one sales rep, and I learned a lot of my entrepreneurial things at this startup. For example, I hated calling on the phone. I was sales. I hated calling on the phone. So I went, they paid me $8 every single sale. So I went on Craigslist and I told people I'd pay them $6 every single sale. Right. So I was making a $2 split. You know, I'm an entrepreneur within a startup. And then my sales numbers started growing to the point where, you know, I was the number one sales rep. And I had, I think my biggest day, I had almost 400 sales in one day. Right. And wow. The next highest salesperson was 12.
And what were you selling exactly?
We were selling virtual tours. So helping real estate agents sell homes online.
Interesting. Okay. And so
while you were in college, you also had a pretty traumatizing accident, right? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. Towards the end of college, I was just trying to make some side hustle on the side and helping a buddy out who was paying me $50 an hour to work at a spray off equipment at a construction site. So I was helping him out on a Saturday. It was my second Saturday ever doing it. And he ran over me with some construction equipment, the big one with the tank treads. He ran over it and snapped my leg in half. So when he did that, you know, obviously I was hospitalized. I ended up having over the next year, I had four surgeries. I couldn't walk for ever, you know, I was the guy in the doctor's office where the doctor said, hey, you'll never be able to walk again. And I was the, you know, entrepreneur guy who was like, all right, you're fired. Went to the next doctor until I found a doctor who was like, dude, I actually think you can walk. And here's what you're going to have to do to walk again. And, you know, over the next 3 years, I had stem cell injections. I had a bunch of things. I went through hell. I mean, it got, you know, after that accident, I actually did not, I couldn't walk for almost a complete year. And I was bedridden for 9 months. I mean, I had a catheter in me. I couldn't walk. That's actually when I really started becoming good at online marketing and hiring these people on Craigslist. You know, that's when I came up with the idea, because I was in so much pain that sometimes, and also I had some pain medications where I would just fall asleep sometimes. I'd be like mid-conversation, I'd fall asleep on a person. And I was in pain sometimes, so I couldn't really talk and I couldn't do things. So I was like, I got to figure out a way to make money to pay for this stupid leg, because it was, you know, it was literally millions of dollars, but my copay on that was tens of thousands of dollars every single month. So I had to pay for that. And, you know, while I was in a legal process, it ended up in a legal thing and the state ended up paying for my leg. Workers' comp did, but, so I ended up getting that back. But at the time I had to pay for it all. So I had to come up with ways to make money to be able to pay for my situation and what was going on. And it sucked, but you know, I was making at the time probably like $4,000 a month, $4,000 a month going school full time, and which was great money, right? Still is great money. But I had to figure out ways to make money. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started figuring out additional ways to make money and to further myself and to really, really leverage other people like a business owner would and take this on as my own business.
Yeah. And it was born of necessity, essentially. Correct. Which I think is a yep. really important lesson for people. And yep. the more you can do to create that, the better.
I usually say to people in a startup, if it doesn't have to work out, it probably won't.
What was your first foray into the online marketing world then?
I mean, that was it. Like, that was like, I had to learn it. Like, I didn't want to sit and call people over and over and over. So I went on Craigslist and I put ads all around the US and I said, hey, I'll hire you. If you make a sale, I'll pay you $6 per sale. You know, the average person's making like 3, 4, or 5 sales a day, you know, stay at home moms or people just trying to make an extra $30-$40 a day. You know, this is the job for you. It's not a full-time gig. It's not this. This is to make some extra side cash, trying to, you know, talk to real estate agents in your area. I met tons of people. They started selling. So I later found out that's affiliate marketing. I started doing other things. I started texting people. Like I built a text server and I scraped the whole internet for every real estate agent's phone number. And I built something that automatically text messaged every single one of them twice a day. Now you can't do that. There's canned spam laws and text spam laws that totally makes that illegal. But back in the day, it was a new thing. Text messaging was brand new. It was something that I was able to build as an entrepreneur and, you know, spam kind of in a way these people. But it started making sales. I figured out different ways to make sales for a product to be able to make me more money.
Mm-hmm. And was that business Adology? Is that what that was?
No, that one was still this first company where we were selling to real estate agents.
Gotcha.
So I actually did start Adagy at that time. Adagy was more where I ran the money through and my agency that would pay people. So I had the startup that I was working for that actually wasn't so much a startup. I had them pay Adagy, and then Adagy ended up paying every single one of those contractors. So gotcha. They were my contractors. So that's where Adagy and this internet business came from, is I started it from the necessity of making money for the other things. And then I just continued that on to other businesses. And Adagy became like kind of my company, where I was my chameleon, where I was like, hey, I have a company. I do internet marketing. I have tons of contractors. This is how I will pay them.
Gotcha. So almost essentially consulting for people that need online marketing.
Correct. Yep.
And what were you able to grow that business up to in you know, revenue figures, if you're comfortable sharing?
Adagy consistently over the year has done seven figures for easily the past probably like 6 or 7 years, maybe even 7 or 8 years. Consistently, you know, high six, seven, and then higher on the seven figures.
What's been like your best growth channel for getting clients with Adagy? Is that like, you know, referrals from people you've already worked with, or are you doing a lot of like outbound?
100% referrals. We do zero outbound. We haven't ever had a salesperson or anything like that. It's always been, we do really good work for our clients and customers, and they refer on other people.
I love that.
As entrepreneurs, I mean, listening to this, you know, I would recommend that that should be your number one resource out there. I mean, you should depend on outbound sales and inbound sales and stuff like that. But referrals by far should be the best thing. If you're doing an amazing job for your customers, they should want to refer people to you. They should want to help out other people. This world, the more you help out other people, the more it always comes back.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So eventually, John, you go on to found the online payments company Due, which is at due.com for everyone listening. And it's grown into, this is my read at least, essentially a great way for freelancers, consultants, people like that to accept payments from clients. Can you tell us about the early days of getting started with Due?
Yeah, I mean, the early days was basically, I mean, paying all these contractors and stuff. It's hard paying people, especially in different parts of the world. And we were paying exorbitant amounts of fees. So we started building our own system probably around like 3 years ago to pay our contractors. So we went to our contractors and at one point we're like, hey, we have this way of paying you. What do you think? And we started paying them, and then they started using it with their clients. And then their clients started using it. And then their clients started using it. And all of a sudden, you know, now we have, you know, hundreds of thousands of customers and millions of dollars in transactions every single month. And, you know, it all was born out of a need that we had and a problem that we had, and we solved it for ourselves. And then other people started to like that problem.
And you essentially have done, you know, zero marketing for it, in the sense that you already had the people working with you that needed this solution.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, we've done a lot of marketing. We put out a lot of content. We work very, very hard at marketing the business, but the product typically sells itself.
Yeah.
Every person that signs up on average drives back 1.8 people over the next 30 days.
That's an awesome figure. So what then has been the most effective marketing channel for Due?
Our customers. I mean, they're by far the best marketing channel for us. The more we work with our customers and get them actually using our product, the more customers they drive back. So our customers. The next highest would be definitely content, organic SEO.
Yeah.
So we put out a lot of content that people want, and they like it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And the product is sticky enough to make people want to come back for more.
Yep, correct.
So as of today, you also have almost 1.5 million followers on Twitter. When did you start investing in building a community there?
I started investing very, very heavily in my community probably about 2.5 years ago. I just noticed that Twitter was starting to take off for me. So I started really investing time and energy into it. I also invest a lot into Snapchat, a lot into Instagram, a lot into Facebook and several other channels. But, you know, Twitter's obviously grown the most for me. But really, it's about putting out amazing content, being part of conversations.
So what advice then would you have to our listeners today who are looking at all of these different social networks and trying to decide, you know, maybe which one or two to go all in on?
You know, I would say don't go all in on something unless you are fine having nothing happen and you still enjoy it. So like, for example, like I spend a lot of time and energy on Snapchat, although I hate Snapchat. I do it because for business purposes, and I realize that. But if, and I'm having actually success with it, but I have that success because I'm popular on other networks and can promote it very heavily. Versus if I was doing this work and I saw no success with it, I would probably peter out after a couple days or a month. I find that typically it's 30 to 90 days of you doing something. If you're not passionate about it, you'll stop doing it.
Yeah. So, John, I'm going to transition over to some of my frequently asked questions that I intentionally designed to be short on my end, and your responses do not need to be equally as so.
So, okay, shoot.
What is your number one piece of advice today to someone who wants to start working on their side hustle?
Start. Just start. Stop planning. Stop thinking about it. Just start. It doesn't have to be perfect. Doesn't need to have all the bells and whistles. It can be the crappiest product in the world, but you starting is the best step. I mean, I give this advice on thing. This will be a longer explanation. When I started do our product, people in theory really, really liked it. But before our product even really worked well, we had over 10,000 customers before our product worked well. It worked and people were like, oh, we love this, but it didn't work very well. They patched things together. They were copying and pasting in URLs. They were making it work because it was so much of a change that they wanted. But we had literally, I think it was like 10 or 11,000 customers before our product truly even worked.
So focus on the people.
I mean, not just focus on the people. It's get started. Start. Then you focus on people, but start.
What kinds of sacrifices have you had to make over the years in order to put enough time and effort into your businesses?
A lot of time and money. I've given up a lot of things. You know, all my friends were buying houses and I was pumping, you know, that couple thousand dollars a month into my business. I give up, you know, my mornings. I always say I have, you know, a kid now. So I would say kids don't remember the mornings, but they do remember the evenings and they remember all the time you missed. So I give up a lot of sleep in the mornings because I get up early because I need to start working. You know, I used to sleep in till, you know, like 7. Now that's not possible. I'm up at 5 and I'm working. So those are probably the biggest things that I've given up: sleep, time, energy, and a lot of money.
So you also write for tons of publications: Forbes, Entrepreneur, Inc., TechCrunch, like the list goes on and on. What would be your advice to some of our listeners here today who want to become contributors on those sites or at least get published in some capacity?
Yep. I do write for all the sites that you mentioned. I would say it didn't start there for me. I started off small and I started off, you know, when I started, I had my own blog and I started off with that blog and I blogged every single day on my own blog and I pushed my own blog as much as possible. And then I went to somebody else's blog and then I started writing for them. And then I went to somebody else's and then I went to Huffington Post and I said, hey, I write in these couple places. I want to write for you. And then I went to Huffington Post's big brother and competitor. I went and started writing for them and I worked my way up over time and I gained credibility and followings and I was able to bring those followings and bring those to the other publications. So it didn't start just me writing for Mashable. It started off with my own thing and I worked my way up slowly over time.
Have you had any particular strategies, tactics, or ideas that you've tested been a failure?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I fail a lot. I constantly fail. Even with content, you know, I would say, you know, writing blog posts, only probably like one in every 50 blog posts I write is an extreme success. So, but besides that, you know, like, yeah, I would just say like, try.
So, John, this is my very last question for you. What has been the best investment you've ever made in the context of growing one of your businesses? And that can be in the form of time, money, online tools, products, services, or otherwise.
The best investment I've ever made is in myself and believing in myself and actually putting forth the money, energy, and time to be able to put into every single one of the businesses, whether they be a success or a failure. I invested in myself and I put forth, you know, say a project is going to cost, you know, $10,000 and the next 6 months of my time, I invested that money and that time in myself to see if something would work or would not work.
I love that. I love that. All right. So, John, can you tell our listeners here today where they can go to find you online and learn more about everything you're up to?
Yeah, I'm johnrampton.com, johnrampton.com. I'm also at John Rampton on Twitter and Facebook and every single social network out there. I also have a company, due.com, due.com. We do payments. If you need payments, we're happy to help you out. I'll hook you up with a free lifetime account. Just email me. But johnrampton.com, I welcome you guys to reach out. I'm here to help you guys. I love, love, love helping people out. You don't need to pay me. You don't need to give me anything. I love helping people out. Remember that when you guys, the more you guys help people out, the more it will come back to you.
That's perfect. I love that. All right, John, thank you again for being here.
All right, thanks.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Side Hustle Project, I would love your support. Head on over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating. And as always, you can catch every episode of the Side Hustle Project on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in.